We have talked before about Mondragrins. You remember Mondragrins? Mondragrins is where you hear something and you misunderstand what you heard. Some of us are from the 60s. Remember the Aquarius fifth dimension? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. A Mondragrin was, this is the dawning of the age of asparagus. Pat Benatar sang, hit me with your best shot. You remember that song? A lot of people heard that to say, hit me with a pet shark. Madonna, you remember Madonna. We are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Some people heard, we are living in a Cheerio world, and I am a Cheerios girl. My favorite, perhaps, Jose Feliciano. You remember Jose Feliciano? Blind, Spanish-speaking, English-Spanish, brilliant guitarist, did a piece, remember, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Okay, no, I won't sing anymore. Some people misunderstood that to say, police have a dog. Yeah, it's going to be tough to sing that ever again without thinking of a dog and the cops. But I have to laugh a little bit because not only am I, my ears are getting grayer, the gray of the hair is seeping into the ears, and so my hearing, maybe I'm the only one, and my hearing isn't as good as it used to be, and I misunderstand things. But then this COVID thing brought masks. This has been awful. This has been horrible. People will say something to me, and you wonder just what to respond. And young people especially will look at you like, are you okay? And you don't know how to explain to them. And finally, they'll take the mask off and speak to me, and I'm so grateful. Masks, as I announced, are optional now. And this is a great celebration. We should just pause and celebrate that maybe we are in a new time and a place where that may be the new norm. It didn't dawn on me until 2 weeks ago. I was reading an article about a guy that was a gadget hacker, and he'd built a little screen that you could type, you know, words would appear on this, and you'd wear this, and it had a microphone, and as you spoke, it would take your words and print them on the little screen. And he said the purpose was, my girlfriend is totally deaf. And if I'm wearing a mask, she can't read my lips. And so this might be a solution. I thought that might be a solution for me over all time, for everybody and everything I do. But some people will choose to wear masks. I know that Melissa is going to continue to wear her masks. If you'll notice, she has princesses on it. And that's fun to wear and very beautiful. And so very nice, sweetheart. We will never look askance at people wearing masks unless you're in a bank, I hope. All of this comes out of the scripture, believe it or not, because Moses wore a veil. Now, I don't know much about veils. I haven't worn mine in a long time. And I don't know how different that is from a mask, but it may have been along the same sort of line. You remember, and we heard it from the scripture this morning. James did a good job of reading and helping us understand. Moses goes up on the mountain. He's in the presence of God. And that presence has left his face shining. And it's shining so much that it distracts the people. So whenever Moses is around people, he puts the veil on to prevent the shining from distracting people. That's the sense I get. And so here he is wearing this veil, and it became kind of interesting because now we heard Paul talking about that. And Paul is not at all... And he's not saying anything nice about the veil and Moses and the Ten Commandments and the whole thing. And he's saying that although the commandments came through God, through the tablets, through Moses, that they were veiled. And that veiling has created a barrier. Maybe literally, maybe as Moses was speaking, it was hard to understand him, as we have indicated here, with wearing masks and veils. But I think Paul was talking figuratively. You see, the veil can become an impediment in lots of ways. One is speaking. I realized that as I came into the pulpit and I was wearing the mask, that it was harder for you to understand me until I took that off while I was up here. And that mask was an impediment. But there is another piece of that that is an impediment beyond that. And that is that if I am the receiver of God's word and I share it with you, it goes through the filter that is me. Okay? Now, I think having the Tongan community here is a great illustration of that. Their life experiences, their cultural experiences, are different than the ones that we have. I was born and raised on the western slope of Colorado. There are people here on the eastern slope that don't understand the term eastern slope and western slope. What does that mean? On the western slope, we know what it means. It's a definition of who we are and what we're about. But on the eastern slope, we're all, I don't get it. So out of our experiences and out of the languages that we've used, we hear things and then we share them back, but they are interpreted through our experiences and our abilities to understand and portray them. So there's a difference there. There's a veil that comes when there's an intermediary in the word. A good example might have been the commandment to keep the Sabbath. I believe when God gave that commandment, he said, take a day off. You're good, hardworking people. You work so hard, you drive yourselves, and you drive all the people around you. And in that day and age, you drive your slaves, your workers, your everybody, even your animals. Take a day of rest. Give yourself a day to stop and sit with God and sit with each other and to recenter yourselves. But it became interpreted through the Pharisees and the chief priests, you have to take this day off or else. So from their perception, you see, and from their filtering, that might have been a skewing. This is my interpretation of that, so you're hearing that skewed as well. Paul is pretty explicit. Indeed, to this day, this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It would have been words that were fighting words for the chief priests and the Pharisees. He is calling that account to those Old Testament and to the Torah and to all that was before as secondary to the God's word through Jesus Christ. It would have been at least controversial. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, I think. Is that right? Colin, you're in seminary. I bet you track these things. Is this Transfiguration Sunday? Got to check, you know, these young whippersnappers, they're way up on us old-timers. Transfiguration Sunday, it's about recognizing something important that happened. Moses is one of the superstars of the Old Testament, and Elijah is the other one. These are the famous, the important ones, the pivotal ones, God's premier wordsmiths. And Moses' face glowed. I mean, who could be greater than Moses that his face glowed? And he had to use a veil to cover that. But here Jesus goes up on the mountain. He takes Peter and James and John. They all go up on the hill together. And suddenly they're enveloped by this cloud and they see Jesus. And he's talking to those superstars, Moses and Elijah. This is pretty awesome stuff. We're talking about now the greatest of the great. And they're all together. And as they're about this, Jesus, not his face glows. His entire body begins to glow. He begins to shine. And out of the cloud a voice says, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Moses and Elijah were awesome. And James and John and Peter and they would have been good Jewish boys. They knew Elijah, they knew Moses, they knew what was going on here. But here, explicitly God saying, these were the leaders, these brought you the word. Now, here is Jesus. He is my chosen one. Listen to him. Good Jewish boys that they are, they immediately, when everything's calmed down and everybody's gone and it's just Jesus again, they said, Peter says, Master, let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Let's get some tents set up and let's shove all the deities into the tent so that we want God close, but not too close. Let's put God in a place that we can kind of keep God under control and not all around us all the time. And Jesus doesn't even answer them. This is not the way it will be now. There won't be a tent where the covenants are kept, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the priest goes in and consults and then comes back out to bring the word. There is no intermediary now. There is Jesus, the Christ, God on earth. No longer a tent, no longer a veil over the mouth, no longer intermediaries between. Our texts are in common. You can all take and go and read those texts yourselves so that you're not hearing them through me. No, there is no other intermediary anymore. This is Christ speaking directly. Now it is that we can hear Christ speaking to us in our hearts. And if we will pause and hear that still small voice, it is clear to us, and we know. Here is clarity. There is no muddling from the perception of being able to hear or the distortion from a mask or from old ears that don't hear as well. Here is God speaking to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.